Blog Talk Radio.
This is Raz Williams, your host. Welcome back to Can We Talk Fridays, where we keep it real, we keep it right, and more importantly, we keep it godly. This show is coming to you live every Friday from 8 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And sometimes, just sometimes, we tend to go over a little bit, but, you know, there you have it. Well, guys, we're back from a three-week break, and we had to work out a few bugs. We had a few technical difficulties with the timing and scheduling of the show. And, you know, we needed to have a break as well. So, but, you know, we're back, and wanted to thank you guys for tuning in and supporting the show. Well, guys, it's another beautiful day in California, and the weather's actually cooling down now. And I hope you guys had a good weekend and looking forward to a great weekend. I'm really excited to do tonight's show. I believe it's long overdue. Something I've been having on my list of topics to do for a while now. And a recent news report stated that the number of single-parent households has actually doubled in just the last 20 years. For most single mothers, that means that working a job full-time and parenting full-time, that's quite a load to say the least. No matter what your reason for being a single mother is, you're probably well acquainted with a nagging sense of guilt about working too much or working too little, not having enough time or money, being in battles with your ex, wanting to provide a sibling for your child, feeling that your family is fractured or less than ideal, you name it. But while it's always easy to find something to feel guilty about, it helps to focus on what is good and right about your family, rather than on what's wrong or lacking. Ask yourselves this, single moms, for instance, whether your children are loved and well cared for, whether their basic needs are being met in a consistent, dependable way, and whether your home is a warm and happy place to be. These non-material things are ultimately more important than a closet full of videos and the latest toys. So, guys, today's show is designed to encourage those of you that are single mothers going through life's challenges and struggles, trying to raise your family, trying to find love, manage your career, your emotional health, and more importantly, your relationship with God. Guys, the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Or you may email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. That's canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. Well, I want to introduce my panel of co-hosts this evening, and I want to first introduce Lorraine Klein. Lorraine Klein is our in-house therapist, and I wanted to welcome you back to Can We Talk, Lorraine. Lorraine, how you doing?
I'm great, Raz. Thanks for having me back, and I look forward to our topic tonight.
Absolutely. I mean, Lorraine, what do you think of tonight's topic?
I think it's a good topic. I think you are right. There are a lot of women out there that are, and actually men, that are single parents that this topic will be relevant for.
Absolutely. Definitely. Well, I want to introduce for the first time a special guest to Can We Talk, and I want to introduce to you guys, first of all, Evangelist Patricia Rice. Evangelist Rice has been an advocate for battered and troubled women, single moms for many years now, working as a crisis counselor. Evangelist Rice, it's great to have you on Can We Talk Radio. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, Raz. I'm so happy to be on your show, and I think this is a dynamic topic that you have chosen, too.
Absolutely. It's good to have you on the show. Next, we have Mr. Bonnie Ambrose. Bonnie, how you doing, sir?
Hey, Raz. How you doing?
Pretty good. I thought we lost you there for a minute, Ronnie. So, Ronnie, let me ask you, what do you think, you were raised by a single mom, so what do you think of tonight's topic?
I think it's going to be good, and we should shed some encouraging light on, you know, that situation and how, you know, there is a healthy side because, you know, I didn't turn out too bad, and I know some single mothers that are doing the best that they can, you know, with the situation they were given. So I'm, you know.
Absolutely.
Happy about it.
Absolutely. Good point. Okay, well, I guess it's time for the news, Ronnie. What do we have going on the wall today?
Well, we're going to just bring up this topic because I know everybody's heard about it, the Preachers of L.A. And so it's a show that's supposed to be a reality show on focusing on pastors in L.A. and their lifestyles. And, you know, in watching it, what I seen was a lot of them trying to say that, you know, we're just human at the end of the day, and we're just human. We go through the same things that you do and things of that nature. And, you know, as far as the show, you know, they won't stop them from doing a show, but the truth of the matter is it's not a show about just anything. These are people that are supposed to be called to serve God in a certain capacity, and, you know, that's not being represented. What's being represented is a despising of that office as far as, you know, they're no one special. They're just like you. You know, they want material items just like you, and they count their success just like you on material things. And so they're showing how they're more of the world and how that's okay and acceptable. And so, you know, it's just like a despising of the office. And so, you know, just for those that might be interested or people that, you know, support the show, you know, that's up to you. But one thing is for sure, as a believer, we want to maintain truth about the role of a pastor. And if we look in Ephesians 4:11, it reads like this. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. These are the positions that are given. And so it goes further to say what these titles are supposed to be doing. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do God's work and to build up the body of Christ. And so anything outside of that, no matter what somebody tells you, is just not true, and it's not in line with Scripture. So if you're showing me a show about you give yourself a title of a pastor, which is a gift from God to the body, your responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. If your show is not reflecting that, then you should rename it or retitle yourself. And another thing I've seen out of their mouths, they call themselves businessmen. They call themselves people that are on pedestals. That's not what the Bible says. If you look throughout the Scripture, you never see the hierarchy. You don't see a lot of the standard in the institution that's reflected in the television show. And so, you know, I couldn't really say that the Preachers of L.A. is a proper representation of a pastor. And we know the responsibility of a pastor according to the Bible, not according to what somebody says the Bible says. This is according to what the Bible says. Their responsibility is to equip the body of Christ because there's work to be done as a believer. The thing about being in Christ, according to the Bible, we're here in a time frame in between the coming of the Savior, his sacrifice and atonement, and his return. Well, and before his return, we're in between his coming and atonement and actually the tribulation that's going to come on the land. And so this time right here is the time for the body of Christ to be doing the work as far as saving souls. The Savior commanded us to go and make disciples and teach them not just anything, but teach them the teachings of Christ. And so, you know, what I saw was just, you know, they've taken the platform that was supposed to be about equipping the saints into just pacifying the saints and to feeling that they're serving God by serving this man. And what they really accomplished is just another form of the Catholic hierarchy and priesthood, because these same pastors that demand a tithe from the congregation don't live the life of a Levitical priest who had no inheritance. And so the thing is, you're asking me to treat you like a Levitical priest, but you want to make a show showing me how you're no different than anyone else. And if you look in the book of Leviticus, it's clear that there is a whole different standard that the Levitical priests had to live up to. And they had no inheritance. I mean, they had no parts of any kind of glitz, glamour, any of that, according to the scripture. According to the institution, you might get a different answer. And so as far as the preachers of L.A., for the body of Christ who are aware, just line it up with the scriptures. Are these guys really functioning according to what the position says? Is this television show equipping anybody to do the work of God? Or is it preparing people for aspiring wannabe celebrity pastors to walk in their shoes? And so the thing is, the role of the pastor is not defined in the show. And the role of a believer, I wanted to address for those that are watching or subject to this or feel like they're under the influence of these the people that are the stars of the show. The role of a believer is to live for God, to be dead to the world and its temptations, looking to the Bible for looking to trusting on the Spirit of Truth, which is the Holy Spirit, for their guidance. And so, you know, my last remark is going to be for the body of Christ to realize that you're not under a pastor. You're working with your pastor to serve God. And anything else out of that is not in Scripture. So I just wanted to pass this topic around to the rest of the panel, and I'll start with you, Raz, as far as I don't know if you've seen it, but just from the social media and the things that I've been investigating, it's got the attention of most of a lot of believers, and a lot of believers are making excuses for these guys who want you to treat them like Levitical priests when they ask you for your tithe, but they don't carry out the lifestyle of a Levitical priest. And so not that there's even a priesthood to tithe to anyway. So I just wanted to, you know, pass that around to this panel, and we could share our thoughts on it.
Absolutely. Well, Ronnie, that's a, you know, thanks for bringing the news. You did an excellent job. Well, I mean, you know, actually, I know one of the pastors. He's actually one of my old pastors that I used to attend this church years ago, or Pastor Ron Gibson. And, you know, I did watch him. He didn't seem anything abnormal to me per se. However, the issue that I have with the show as a whole is that, unfortunately, the show caters to many of the negative stereotypes secular society portrays regarding the church and preachers and what a true pastor is. And I identified seven areas why I believe what is wrong with the show. And let me start with area number one. Number one is that they live a very lavish lifestyle. Okay. In one of the episodes, I think that one of the bishops lamented that the people call them prosperity preachers, and another stated that they're entrepreneurs or who produce most of their money outside of the local church. Well, that might be true. But again, the way the media has captured this, it seems very, you know, it has a negative caricature of a preacher who ministers primarily for personal gain. That's what I got from watching this. Point number two is that they exaggerate their humanity at the expense of the glory of God. And, right. You know, why don't we have many conversations about this. I'm against superficial religion. And, you know, I appreciate a leader who is transparent with his close friends, But one has to be very careful, especially when the media is capturing this on TV, because what they're doing, they're taking certain snapshots to make these pastors become to look out as hypocrites, right? So that's another blemish in the body of Christ. That's strike number two. Number three is that some of them seem emotionally detached, unable to relate to others authentically. And one of the bishops was in a long-term relationship, and every time his girlfriend attempts to bring up where the relationship is going, he got uneasy. He changed the subject. He was just speaking ambiguities to this lady. You know, I felt that was very hypocritical, especially for a bishop who's preaching about marriage. You know, point number four is that some of these leaders, some of these pastors on the show have violated some serious biblical ethics in marriage and family. And one of them in particular, Lonnie, you know who he is. I ain't mentioned no names. He was married in Detroit, and now he committed adultery with a young lady from one of the bishop's churches out here in L.A. And now they have a baby, and now that whole thing is just a mess. But yet you still have, instead of stepping down, you're still preaching, and there's so many, your theology is completely off. You know, you question whether shacking is biblical, which is it definitely is not. You know, and there's so many things that are just wrong with that, dude. So many things that are, you know. And point number five is that a lot of their ministries are depicted as hype rather than substance. Like, you know, McClendon's church, where he has all these entourages and, you know, all this other stuff. A lot of it's just superficiality, bro. There's nothing in there that really, as a non-believer watching this, it's going to turn me completely off. All right? And then point number six is that they showcase some of these pastors that have emotional immaturity. Several of these men are just, you know, I don't know, they just seem to be emotionally volatile. They're arguing just like in basketball wise, like some of these women do in these reality shows. It's nothing. There's no difference. You know what I mean? So there's no difference. Now, point number seven, which is I think is my most important point, is that the show reinforces a distorted view of the whole church. Now, Ronnie, you mentioned that, you know, we're commanded by Jesus Christ to go out to the nations of the earth and preach the gospel, the good news. Now, I don't believe that this program really is doing that. And more importantly, this program is actually sponsored or is aired on Oxygen. Oxygen is owned by OWN, which is Oprah Winfrey Network. And Oprah Winfrey Network, we know Oprah Winfrey is anti-Christ. She's actually a New Age believer who does not believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of the Living God and the Savior to mankind. So it just goes to let me know who's truly behind pushing the agenda of preachers of L.A. What is it really about? And I'll tell you what it's really about. It's about the Church of Laodicea discussing the Book of Revelations, where the Book of Revelations discusses a lukewarm church who've turned away from their first love, which is Christ.
Right.
What do you think about my comment?
I agree. I just want to pass it around the panel, so, you know, if anyone has anything to say, feel free.
Well, I did look at it last night, and I watched the show. Now, each and every one of these pastors, I have been in their church and have heard them preach, and what made I felt within me, I felt so bad to see someone who I have seen minister God's word, who has knowledge of the word, who has touched my spirit and my soul many times when they were preaching and I received a word from them and the congregation began to become alive and feel the presence of God, to see them stoop so low. Because if they could cause just even one member to scatter, if they scatter, the Lord speaks of scattering his sheep. Beware of the shepherd who scatters the sheep. And if they could cause one member that will watch this show and say, you know what, I'm not going there anymore. As a matter of fact, these preachers aren't anything. They're just full of stuff. They just like anybody else in the world. Then they'll be judged by God Almighty. I did also, in looking at the show, no. Do you feel any pulling to the Lord by watching this show? Does this make anyone begin to raise their hands up and say, oh, my gosh, I've seen this show. Oh, they've talked about the Lord, and it's drawing me to Christ. No, it doesn't draw us to Christ. It's a mockery of the church. It's a mockery. It's something. It's comical. People are laughing at it. They're laughing at the church. They're laughing at when they see them driving in their luxury cars and pulling up to their man caves. And you know, when you saw man cave, I said, well, they have a man cave? I mean, well, I know. They said that's a place where he invites other ministers, where they have a place to go to where they can talk, you know, and to encourage each other. But it's just like the world, like it's a little getaway place, you know, for the boys. Don't you think so?
Yep, I agree.
You know, You know, and I looked at that and I said, oh, my goodness. They're very argumentative, just like them, these basketball wives shows, these reality shows. They're doing the same thing as the world. So we know who's behind it. We know we're in the last days, and we know who is orchestrating all of this. And so we know this is not of God. And those the shameful thing of it is, I would hate for unbelievers to fall away and be hard for us who truly believe in the power of God to witness and begin to witness to an unbeliever, and that person begins to bring up that show. You know, that becomes a topic now when you're witnessing sometimes to unbelievers. When you go out in the streets, like we go in the neighborhood and we're witnessing, and, you know, you go up on someone's porch and they say, oh, yeah, hey, have you seen the pictures of L.A., you know? And you're speaking to someone, and there's a bunch of guys on the porch, and they start saying, man, yeah, he was a OG, and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and, man, you know, and so it hurts the body of Christ. Really does. It hurts the body of Christ.
It does. That's
it hurts the body of Christ. What'd you say, brother?
I agree. That's my point, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, I don't know the names of all the characters. I just know that the fruit that fell off of their tree is not going to lead anyone to Christ. It's going to give them more reason to stay away from anybody who's a member of the body of Christ. And you brought up something that I overlooked. When I'm talking to someone, they don't hear me. They hear what they saw on television. And
yes, they're going to use that now. I've been out witnessing, and it was a group of guys that sit on the porch, and me and a couple of other members from the church, and they wanted to talk about that. They wanted to joke about the pastors of L.A.
Exactly.
They wanted to talk about the OG pastor. Oh,
the OG. The
they wanted to talk about the man cave and say things like, yeah, you know what's going on in there. You know, so...
Exactly. When that's not what the Savior died for.
No. So it is hurting. It does hurt the church. So we got some praying to do, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So we need to come and get the effects of that show, the spirits behind that show, and pray for the brothers that have lent themselves to this. Like you said, sister, it's a mockery. So is there anyone else on the panel that has an opinion?
Well, I have not seen the show, but just in hearing what you're saying, Patricia is right on in knowing that who is behind this, and that in the last days, the word says that they're, you know, the gospel that's going to go out is going to be, the people are looking for those that are tickling their ears to hear what they want to hear, and justifying feeding their flesh by, you know, gaining materialistic things and getting man caves and fancy cars. And, you know, I'm hopeful that as this show the enemy wants to use to tear down the church and make the church look bad, but will also give us opportunity when it gets brought up to be able to bring up the Word of God and the truth. And the Word of God being the truth, it combats what they see, what they're saying, what they're portraying, is going to not come back void. And the reality is that the God... that we serve knows this is going on and that we need to be able to be ready and stand with the word to answer for this and to point to Christ, who he didn't come to get man caves and cars and money and all these other things. He came to be a servant, and that's what we're supposed to be. And we can tell them the truth and remind them that as you watch this show, if you see this, does it look like anything like the Christ that we know? Are they serving? And so I think that for us to be mindful of that and take this as an opportunity, you know, the enemy can use it for destruction, but we can also turn it around and use it as a topic to lead people to the truth.
Yeah, that's right. I agree.
I just want to make a point. I want to make a point that one of the shows, I believe, the bishop was asked, you know, why do you charge like a fee to come out and preach? And if you don't pay me, then I'm not going to come out and preach. And I think that is so tacky. That's so terrible. That's like a mercenary who's out for hire. You know what I mean? It's really, man. Like, I mean,
yeah.
What about when Christ went into villages in muddy water and went far long distances to preach the word of God because he was worried about people's souls? These guys are worried about their paychecks and their pocketbooks versus about the soul of another human being who could go to heaven or hell because of their nonsense. And this is the kind of treachery that these wolves in sheep's clothing, these so-called ministers of darkness, perpetrating as ministers of light, are out going out in the world and talking this garbage. So we have to expose this nonsense for what it truly is. That's my comment.
That's true.
Well,
that's very true. They have forgotten who paid the ultimate price to them, that they could have life in God in the first place.
And it's sad what's happened to a lot of them because they weren't like that always. You know, they didn't start out like this. It seemed like the bigger they got, the larger they got, the bigger their congregation got, the more things they got, they became more like the world. But many of them were very approachable and in the beginning and had the love of the Lord in their life. And I know one of them, yes, he was an ex-gangbanger, and his brothers, also some of his siblings were in the same situation. And their mother was a mother that was always on her knees praying for her children to be saved and delivered. And all of her boys were delivered and became ministers. But then pride comes in. And pride comes in a lot of ministries, you know, and with pride comes a fall. And they're getting very exalted right now. They're raising themselves. The world is raising them up, and we're looking for a fall. There's going to be a fall when you do that. So the thing is, because God says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, in due time He will exalt you, and He will raise you up. But right now, they're the opposite of humility, and there's pride. One of these pastors came to our church, which is a much smaller church, some years ago, and he was saying, you know, I don't go to, I'm up here, I'm preaching so hard, and I usually charge, you know, a lot more than what you guys can pay me. You know, why do you have to tell us that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of them, if you want them to come to your church, they're going to give you a big fee. Before they even step out, and if they're going and what they want and what they like, and if they're going to be at a conference and they're in a hotel room, they want to tell you where. I know one of them to say that I want next to my hotel room, I want a suite, and next to my hotel room, I would like to be able to get to a gym. I want to have a nice gym, you know, right near me. they're like superstars. They become superstars.
And it's sad, and you're right, Mathis Rice, because, you know, it reminds me when Satan appeared to Christ in the wilderness, and he said that, bow down before me, because all these kingdoms have been given to me, and if you bow down before me, I'll give them unto you, it's within my power to give them to you. And somewhere, I'm sure these pastors didn't start out this way. They were probably seduced. Yeah. They were probably caught up with the competition of marketing and outdoing each other. It's almost becoming a sport, a pastor's local boys club, you know, where they talk amongst each other and try to gain more notoriety amongst each other. And it's become a game where, unfortunately, like we just said, the people's souls are at stake here. And I think that God is not pleased with this. I think that those of them who are playing this kind of game, I think that it's a terrible thing to get into the hands of the judgment of God. And when you play around with people like that, when you offend God's little ones, then it's definitely a serious situation. So,
and that's what they're doing right now. They're offending the little ones. They are.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we have to be very careful.
Yes, absolutely, Mom. Now, Ronnie, do we have anything else going on in the news?
No, that's it. I just wanted to bring that up. I don't want to take too much time on the news, so I just wanted to pass that around and shed some light on it for those that, you know, might come across it, or for those that follow these pastors, you know, so that they would know that this isn't putting our mouths on the man of God. I'm not talking about these people. I don't even know. I know their names, but I don't know them. So I'm not talking about them. They could have been aliens. They could have been anybody. But if this is the position they're playing, and they're hiding behind a Bible to do it, it's our job as believers to expose the darkness and shed the light of truth on it. And it's still daytime. Those people, they can walk away from the show right now. They can breach contract and risk being sued to show that, hey, I made a mistake, and, you know, today I'll repent. And so, you know, we're looking forward to that. So this is not a condemnation, but, you know, we're not going to – we do have to address things as exactly what they are, and this is a stain on our garment. And, you know, we pray that they open their eyes. We pray that it does I pray that God corrects them not in his anger, but in his mercy, and that they would turn.
Yes.
And so this is not a condemnation. But as far as the body of Christ that's vulnerable, because they do have influence, so whoever's vulnerable to this, to know that what you're watching isn't okay, not because we say so, because the Bible says so, and the Bible is God's word. And so, you know, that's it for the news. We brought it up not to bash anyone,
no.
You know, but they're not represented. They're not doing the John the Baptist. You're not out there with the sheep vests and eating locusts and, you know, the voice in the wilderness. No, you're blending in. And we're called to be separate and set apart. Come away from them. Come out from them.
Separating.
You know. And so, you know, like we said, this is for the believer that might be watching to know that, you know, this isn't in line with the way, the truth, or the life. And for the non-believer to know that, no, that's not how we all think. And so, that's the news.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good work, Ronnie. That's a good point. And thank you for the panel for your comments.
No problem.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we're on with the show. Guys, we're talking about how to be a safe, successful single mom. If any of you guys are out there listening who are single mothers and have different struggles, call in. We have some awesome mature women in God who have been single mothers and can really shed some wisdom and some guidance today. So, guys, the number to call in is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Well, guys, it's no doubt that single parenting is a very hard job, so you certainly need clear guidance. The Bible doesn't always answer questions in the way we ask them or give us truth in the categories or format that we want. There are no Ten Commandments in Scripture that exclusively addresses single parents. What should we make of the absence of biblical commands specifically for single parents? Let's begin with a more fundamental question. Were there any single parents in the Old Testament? And the answer to that is yes. They were not excluded. When God spoke to his people, he spoke to married parents and single parents alike. In other words, the general commands given to all parents pertain to you as single mothers. So here's a list of things I have written down that I believe God is requiring you as a parent or a single parent to provide for your family. And that is to provide physical and emotional care, provide verbal instruction, provide physical discipline, model dependency on Christ that grows into his likeness, pray for and with your children. Lorraine, what do you think about my comment?
I think it's excellent. I think being a single parent is a difficult thing, but when you're a single parent, that means that as a believer, you have the Lord as your husband and your spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need to remember. And the most important thing you can do for your kids is to watch, let them watch you follow him and submit to his authority as the spiritual leader in your house. Unfortunately, there's a lot of single women that are so focused on finding their future husband or hoping they're going to find somebody that they don't take that time to be set apart to spend with him and seek who God might have for them. And their kids get left, you know, behind. They don't have time for them, or they're too busy out dating so many nights a week and leaving the kids here, there, and everywhere that their kids just feel like they're being abandoned in the process. So what you said is very accurate. Those are very important things for single people to remember and keep in mind.
Absolutely. Evangelist Rice, same question to you.
Yes. Well, having have been a single parent, having had went through a divorce and then I was left being a single parent, the thing with me was when I really fell in love with this man named Jesus, when I fell in love with Jesus, truly fell in love with him, and he became the Lord of my life, then that void of an emptiness was no longer there. It was filled with his presence, and therefore you, I was able to, and teaching my children that love, just like Lorraine said, you're single, but you're not alone. Because Christ
right.
is the center of your home and your household, and you know that he's the father of your children. He provides for you. You know, as a single mom, I used to put my kids, I would put them to bed at night, and after I would put them to bed, I would go in my room, and I would put on my spiritual music, and I would put my pillow up on the floor, and I would bow up on my knees, and I was going to have that intimacy of prayer and communion with my God, you know? And that was a daily, a nightly time of being alone. But I fell so in love with the Lord that I began to want to tell other women who were single about this man named Jesus, who could fill all the voids. So I ended up doing prison. I went to the deepest places and the hardest places, and I began to go in to prison ministry, and I would tell the women there, and then I would go into the women that were in domestic violence shelters. I became a domestic violence counselor, and I would get groups that I would have of women in church that were single moms, and I would talk to them about falling in love with a man named Jesus, and they never really, because they're lonely, and like you said, Lorraine, they want to go out and, hey, you know, go out with their girlfriends, and they throw the babies, the children off on somebody else's house, auntie, grandma, somebody, or just some neighbor, and they're going to go out and party. And that child needs that time to be with that mom. But that mom is looking for this man to fill a void in her heart because she doesn't know Jesus. So I always would tell a lot of the moms that I would counsel, I would teach them things to do that would make them even feel good about themselves. I would teach them, tell them to do things like even at night, you know, you take that luxury bath, you know, you put the kids to bed, you relax, you take that luxury bath, you use it as a time to just pray and ask God to fill those things that are empty in your life, what you need, even provisions. You know, even provisions, God is Jehovah Jireh. He's our El Shaddai. He's the Lord that's more than enough. He provides every need. And I began to, in my experience, I fell in love, just so deeply in love with Jesus that he became everything in my life, in my children's life, and I would share him with them, and he's at the center of our table, and we all had to, ready for dinner, and we say our verses, everyone had to put in the whole armor of God, and every child had a verse to say, and we would have Bible studies, you know, in the home, because he had came in, and he is now my husband, and he is now your father, and he's leading this household. But to get to that point, you got to fall in love with him. So I had to talk to a lot of women who didn't know that. They didn't have that. They said, well, I want somebody that I can touch, some flesh and blood, you know. Okay, that's fine, Evangelist Rice, but I need a man that I can touch. And so, you know, that's being real, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's being real. But But when you start, the way I would explain it, I was so in love with them that the girls would look at me and say, wow. Because, I mean, I would put my arms around myself and say, you know, can't nobody love you like Jesus. Can't nobody hold you like Jesus. There ain't a man alive that can feel the voice that Jesus can feel in your life. And they would, I just see it in my eyes that when I was at the prison once, one of the girls said, wow, I never seen it like that. I said, it's really like that, but you got to get to know this man named Jesus Christ, you know. And he also will provide for you. You know what? You know, I'm going to be with you guys. My ministry was out in the street with ministering to women that I've been on the street. So I would talk to him like this. I said, hey, he'd be your sugar daddy, girl. He will be your sugar daddy. I mean, he takes care of you. Jesus does. The Lord does. But you know what? There's a price to pay. You give yourself to him. You give yourself to him. You give yourself to him. And they've given themselves to a lot of sugar daddies. I said, so
absolutely.
Think of this. Give yourself to Jesus Christ as your Lord, presenting your body to him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is your reasonable service, you know. And watch the Lord transform your life. And he becomes, and God becomes the head of your household. And you know what happens with that? Lorraine probably agrees with me. Even as a single mom, once Jesus Christ has become your Lord and came in your household and took over your household and became the father to your children, when you marry, he's still your man.
Yes.
To this day, even I've been married going on 20 years now, and my husband still knows at night, like I did as a single mom, it's time now. I'll go into my room. I light my candles, and it's me and my Lord every night, because he's a jealous God.
Absolutely. That's an awesome point.
He said, if I was your sugar daddy then, if I was your man then, when you was a single mom, if I was the head of your household then, if you needed me for everything then, don't forget me now.
Right.
And he
absolutely
continues. Then he becomes that everything for the whole union of the husband and wife too, you know. Is anyone else
that's an awesome
comment
point
about?
Absolutely, ma'am. Bonnie, you have anything to add to that at all? Or?
Oh no, I'm learning and I agree. You know, I haven't been in that position, but from what I've come to learn and being a believer that, just like she said, the Savior can fill voids that nobody else can and provide for you in a way that nobody else can. So, you know, I agree.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, look, there's many difficulties that plague the single parent's home. Work, performance is affected, which hinders your job, expenses, child care, surviving off only one income, and a sundry of other variables that hinders God's blessings. But all of these are worldly obstacles, and God's message will bring prosperity. Satan's plot and plan is to destroy the single mom, to cause confusion, fear, inadequacies, remind you that you're by yourself with your children. He only wants you to feel guilty, or he wants you to make a poor choice in picking a man to have a child with. Thinking along these lines deters you from the anointing and blessings from God. Guys, please remember that God doesn't put anything on you that can't be handled. He knows your needs. He knows your desires before you do. But let, like Lorraine said, like Evangelist Wright says, let obedience be your guidance to godly living, even in the midst of being a single mom. There are also many single-parent homes due to rendered choices such as divorce and separation. With any choice comes the responsibility of acceptance of repercussions and difficulties. It's tough to guide, protect, train, and grow our children when we're the only adult responsible for their primary care. So I listed a few things, a few areas that I wanted to pass around to the panel tonight as what single mothers can do in particular to really enhance their motherhood. And the first point that I had written down was number one, was to assemble a strong support team. Single mothers can often feel isolated and overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So it's important to feel that you have some sort of community behind you. Rely on a solid network that includes trusted friends, your parents, or your family, or you know, or developing a strong support system. And Lorraine, what do you think about that comment?
I think that that is vitally important, and I think sometimes it's hard for people to accept help or to ask for help. And as a single parent, you need to allow God to meet your needs through other people and be okay with it. And I remember there were times that I remember once my washing machine broke down and I had no washing machine. I thought, now what am I going to do? And I had told my friend that, you know, I needed to figure out what to do about this washing machine. And I came home from work, and her husband and her had gone out and bought a new washing machine and put it in my house and took out the old one and set it up for me. And there were times that somebody would hand me an envelope and say, you know, I just feel like God said to give this to you, and there would be just enough money for whatever it is I happen to need. It was very difficult for me in the beginning because I was very self-sufficient. I can take care of myself. I can take care of my kids. I don't need anything. And for me to feel like I was in a place of need was very difficult. But God humbled me, and you're never self-sufficient. Everything comes from Him.
No.
He is the ultimate provider, regardless of whether it's through your paycheck or somebody giving you something or somebody meeting a need that you have.
Yes.
And I think that was a huge lesson for me, to learn how we are not islands, and God has us interdependent on each other, and He ministers to each of us through each other. So having that support network that you're willing to allow into your life and tell them your needs, or even if you don't tell them, just for them to see them and allow them to give and speak into you, you're blessing them, because I know when I give to somebody, that's a blessing. So
yes.
I learned a lot. I think it's very important to have a good support system.
Yeah, I
absolutely.
Like that, Lorraine.
That's an important point. Now, Vanessa, do you have anything to add to that point?
Well, you know, what Lorraine said, that's when people reached out to me as being a single mom, and they might have come to me and they'll give me an envelope and said, the Lord told me to give you this. And they always give God the glory, and it made me draw closer to God, saying, wow, He's taking care of my needs. He knew I needed just that amount of money. I look in the envelope, that's just what I needed to fix a furnace, you know, in my house at one time. Or someone would say, the Lord told me to come in and paint your house, and they painted my house. I said, wow, you know. And you know, a girlfriend of mine's, and I didn't ask for anything, and she left a check. We went somewhere, and she left a check on my on the floor of in my car. Just helping out. So with that being done to me, you know, as when you receive from others, you're learning a lesson. It's teaching you how to be giving yourself. So I believe that's what started me to have such a compassion for single moms, where now I may be in a line in a store and I'll see a single mom struggling with putting some food back, or, oh, I can't buy that. And I'll tell the cashier, I got it. I have that. Whatever it is, don't put nothing up. I'll pay for it, you know, because I remember that was done to me. Someone helped me. God used someone to reach out to me. And so what I do with the women in the ministry and the groups that I would have, I have a group of young, they're all single moms, and I'll help them, or maybe they don't have a car, they aren't driving, or they need transportation somewhere, or they got to go to the grocery store, or whatever they need, or maybe God may say give them, maybe they just need, sometimes just $20 is going to go a long way for them, you know?
Absolutely.
Or I've seen a woman sitting on the bus stop with her two kids once, and I stopped and I said, oh, they're so cute, and not wanting to make her feel like, oh, I'm feeling sorry for you, but I say, I just want to, can I give this to your kids, you know? It was right around Christmas time, you know, Merry Christmas, you know, but you know that's something that mother could use. So they need, for the older women, as older women, that any older women that are listening, when you see these single moms, the Bible even says for the older women to teach the younger women and not to judge them and not to criticize them, even when they're not doing the right things. Don't look down upon them, but find a way to reach them with the compassion of Christ, and they'll see Christ in you, and that will draw them to want to even come to your church, want to go where you're at, want to be around you. You know, they want to sit at your feet and learn from you, you know. So I learned from the Lord bringing other women that were seasoned women in the Lord in my life as a single mom. That's what brought me to really want to reach out to single mothers.
Absolutely. That's an awesome point, Evangelist Rice. The next thing I wanted to ask, and I think, Lorraine, you touched upon it just briefly, was to, number two, is to ask for help. It's sometimes hard for single moms to ask for help or even admit that they need it. Some of you I know are often been to the point of even tears and filled with guilt before you can pick up the phone and ask somebody for help. But if you crave an hour or two alone, or you just want to take a nap or take a break from the kids, you need help around the house or coping with a family problem, guys, don't be afraid to ask for help. Be specific about what you need. There may be people in your life right now who want to help you but are not sure what to do. So, Lonnie, what do you think of that comment?
I agree. And I could see where some people might be reluctant for either pride or, you know, just maybe a little level of embarrassment. But like you said, Lorraine touched on it, and, you know, she could do for herself, but, you know, maybe this was God's way of allowing somebody to help you, you know, for him, or somebody's being obedient to God and they want to look out for you. Don't deny them that. And if you do have a support group, it's better to just let whatever you need be known before it turns into something that overwhelms you. And so if you do have that support system, it's better just to ask for help. And, you know, there should already be a sense of community and a sense of fellowship and family. And so, you know, why not encourage that?
Absolutely. Now, here's my point number three is this, I believe it's really important to, especially for single moms, to say goodbye to guilt. For those of you who are feeling guilty about putting your child in, raising your child in a single parent household caused by a broken relationship, a bad decision, a poor choice, carrying the guilt, you know, Satan's holding condemnation over your head, over your life, hindering you from moving forward. Lorraine, how important is that effect for single moms to say goodbye to guilt? Like, how does that affect them in their decision-making? How does that affect them and how they relate and raise their children?
Well, I think when you, as a single parent, carry guilt, that a lot of times you, which is not, by the way, of God, because there is no guilt, or, you know, there is conviction, but there's not guilt under Christ. That's just the enemy trying to, you know, lie to you and tell you things that aren't true. When you've gone through a bad relationship, or you have, for whatever reason, found yourself single and you've asked for forgiveness and you are close to the Lord, then he's forgiven you. It's once and for all. And the enemy wants to keep reminding you of how bad it is. And I think, you know, the tendency is sometimes to overcompensate with our children and to maybe not be as hard on them disciplinarian-wise, or give them more than, you know, give them things instead of, we may not be able to give them time, but we will take extra money to give them things. And I think when we are overcompensating, then we're not being balanced. We're not teaching our kids to be how we're supposed to be responsible, to be respectful, to be, you know, servants, like Christ is a servant, to serve other people. And they can end up growing up, even coming from single parents, as having attitudes of entitlement because, you know, mom always did it for them, mom always gave it to them, mom tried to do everything for them. So I think it can have a huge impact on the way we raise our kids if we're constantly living under guilt instead of the freedom of forgiveness and walking in that relationship with Christ that he has called us to.
Absolutely.
That's good.
I agree with that. Now, here's my point number four is nurture and set the goals for yourself. And I think this is really important because even if you're a single parent who shares custody with an ex-husband or partner, you probably find it hard to get through all the things on your to-do list. But still, it's important to set goals for yourself for the week, for the month, and for the year, for yourself and for your family, so that you have something to look forward to. Having goals, no matter how modest, can keep your spirits up, keep you moving forward, keeping you focused. Ma'am, just Rice, what do you think about my comment?
Having goals, as you said, pertaining to like having to split that time with the father has his time, and you're going to try to have your time with the child, and You talking about that?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, how I mean, the importance of for as a single mother to set goals for you, for yourself to achieve. That could be a career. That could be something you want to achieve, buying a house. It could be where you want to see your kids in the future and yourself.
When I was single, I went to school. I was going to school. I went to Cal State. That's where I had majored in human services. And I finished there at Cal State. And I also went to, I took extension courses for ZUSA in theology and during the evenings. But with the Lord, he fixed it where I could have a at-home business. And I was at home with my children. And I was able to provide for them. And I needed that outlet, though, because if you're a single mom, you're always in the house with the children. You're just like, oh, my, you know, you need a chance to, you know, to go. You have to take some time where you can just go get away. And that's why I went to school. When I just went on to school, I went to junior college, and I went on to four-year college. And then I went on to seminary, you know, that time away in the evening. And so I just set goals for myself. And what I knew the Lord was leading me to do. I also did the same thing with my children. You have to take time and things with them on the weekend, or what you know that their interests are in, or what you see their talents are, what they're, where they're talented in. Or if some of them were talented in music, then I said, well, I want to give them music lessons. If someone was talented in art, then on Saturdays we're going to do the art lessons. If you know, the boys are playing ball, you know. Even as a single mom, then you got to try to take your son to the football, you know, to be coach at the football games and stuff, and to be in the league for the baseball or basketball, you know. And it seems like it's so much on your shoulders, which it is. But when you have that, if you have that help, if you have friends or people who reach out to you, if you have brothers or sisters or a mother or a parent is really a big role. I mean, a grandparent that will come in and help you with the children, you know, that's a big lift, you know. And a lot of the single moms, they don't even have that because grandparents don't do like they used to do, you know. They want to do their own thing and have their own time, but you taking that load off of them so that they can also achieve some things in their life, you know, so we can do, you know, for that you can as a parent can do things that you want to be doing in your life. I would tell my girls that I ministered to, I would tell them to just go to school in the evenings. And I have a daycare now in my home, so I have single moms, right? And so I would tell them, you know, do something, go to school, take some time for yourself, you know, something to better yourself, get a career, what do you like to do, what, you know, because you have a child that you have to support and take care of, and it's going to make you feel better about yourself also. So, or get a chance to just get away, you know. You know, go have a cup of coffee or with some of your girlfriends, or go out and have a lunch, you know, just the girls. Go to Baskin Robbins and have some ice cream and just sit there all by yourself. It feels good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, I always tell them, go to the park, get a book, get you some ice cream, and just feel the air around you, you know. But take time for yourself. And also, it has to be a balance, time for yourself, but time for your children, too. And when we talk about that topic about guilt, I have a lesson that I do called I Am Not Ashamed, I've Been Transformed, you know. So, you know, even sometimes there are some parents, single moms, who are ashamed of some things they've done in the past. They might have been ashamed. Maybe they weren't always saved. They maybe weren't always walking with the Lord. And what happens when they do start walking with the Lord, they try to give their children everything. They try to be the best thing because they don't want to deal with what they did in the past. But the thing is, I tell them, if you have asked God to forgive you, and he's a righteous God that will forgive and cleanse you from unrighteousness, and you know that you are forgiven, then you have to forgive yourself. And then you move on in your life, because I know single moms who are adults. Their children are adults and older, and they're still under condemnation of whatever they did as when the grown children will throw things in their face, you know, about, oh, you was a single mom. I remember you had Johnny, and he was in the house, and so, you know, things like that.
Absolutely.
So they have to learn how to.
That's a good point.
So there's any single moms out there. forgive yourself and move on and know that God has forgiven you and know that he transformed you. And, you know, you were once that little caterpillar, but now, baby, you can fly like a beautiful butterfly. Just, you know, and do what is it that God has called you to do. Because he's opened
Absolutely.
Up doors for you, and you should go through those doors.
Definitely. You know, that's a good point, Mom, that you brought up, because, I was raised by a single mom, and, you know, she did make, many mistakes, but, I came to terms with the fact that she did the best she could at the level of development that she had at the time in her life. And, you know, and I had to learn to forgive her for things that she did and not hold it against her. Now, Ronnie, can you relate to that at all?
Say, what did you say? What was the last part?
Can you relate to that as far as having to...
Definitely. It's like, let's say this, you know, as far as from coming from being raised in a single parent home for the most part, yeah, I do relate to what you're saying, to the fact where I had to come to terms with, you look at your parent as somebody who knows everything, or you figure that they have everything all together. when you're a child, but as you grow up and you become adult, you know, it's good to thank your parents for what they could do, because they were probably doing all that they knew how to do with the little guidance that they had, with whatever trust in the Lord that they had. They were doing the best that they could do, as Raz says, for, you know, whatever guidance that they had. So, yeah, you know, I can relate to where I can look back and see, well, things that I thought my mom was trying to do on purpose was just her, you know, it was trial and error. You know, we were doing our best together and learning life together. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I can understand that. And that does happen. And for a single parent, I wouldn't say don't try to be too – there is a guidebook, and it's the Bible. And so, but the thing is, there are some things that you're going to have to learn, you know, just on the trial and error. And, you know, if you're honest with your child and, you know, honest with yourself first and honest before God, you know, there's some things that won't bog you down or weigh you down, and that you'll be able to talk about, you know, if they come up later on in life. And so, yeah, you know, things like that happen. So we have to give the parents a break, you know, and know that we're all learning together.
Absolutely. And here's my last point for today's topic is make peace with your past. It's important for all single mothers to create a peaceful and harmonious home life. For some mothers, this means putting aside bitter feelings towards your ex, finding ways to minimize your past and present resentments, dealing with, issues that could arise from, you know, being in your current situation where your finances may not be altogether straight. And there's a lot of opportunity for the enemy to allow you to be really angry and be bitter towards men, to be bitter towards your, you know, people in your life. And Lorraine, how important is that for single mothers to make peace with their past and be able to move forward and really be healthy and be a strong and healthy mother?
Well, it's very important. And what they really need to understand, though, is you cannot make peace with your past until you come to that place where you recognize what your sin was and is, and that you believe that Jesus is who he says he is and that he is a forgiving God. And when you come to him and ask for forgiveness and you are white as snow clean and you are a new creation in Christ that he transforms, once you really get a hold of that, that's when the peace comes in. And when the lie comes from the enemy, oh, but you were this and you did that. No, that is who I was, but I am now a child of God, and I am the apple of his eye, and I am, those are the truths they need to hold on to. That's where your peace comes from. You can't manufacture it, but if you allow God to heal and forgive and let you forgive other people, because forgiveness, it doesn't do anything for the other person. It doesn't free them up. It just frees you up, because when you hold that bitterness and that resentment and that anger, that you're only hurting yourself. Unforgiveness hurts you. It does not hurt them. So you don't want to give that person that power anymore. You really don't want to give one more day to anybody in your past that has caused any harm to you or that you feel did any harm to you. You want to let it go so that you can be free and that God can work through you and love through you And that's what you want to experience in your life, and that's those are the steps you need to take. You make your life right with God first, and then you allow him to take out that bitterness and recognize that you need to let it go so that God can do the work that he's going to do in you and through you. Then you're going to have real peace.
Absolutely. Good. That's a good point. You know, guys, listen, things won't be so difficult for you as a single mom if you don't expect them to be easy. Refuse to make the comparisons. Refuse to buy into the expectations of keeping up with someone else or having everything they have. The truth is you won't be able to do everything. You may not have all you want or once had, but that's okay. Our lives are not measured in the abundance of things. But I do want to say this is, like, never give up. When you give up, you quit fighting. When you quit fighting, you lose. Never give up, because only by hanging in will you win. And lastly, this is, guys, you must have determination. Determination is necessary to overcome any obstacles and any challenges or any handicaps you may have in life. Whenever something doesn't work out, you have to try again, maybe from a different angle, maybe in a different way, but you have to keep trying. Evangelist Rice, what do you think about that comment?
Well, we have to realize we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and to not to give up on yourself, not to give up on your children and your life, and not to hold on to that bitterness that will cause a darkness to come upon you and your soul. And it's like it'll become poison inside the souls of so many women, and they turn against, they give up on men, they give up on a relationship, and they begin to get even older. Their children are grown, they have grandchildren, and they never ever want to even be with a man again because of a bitter marriage or a relationship they had with their children's father. But you have to just go on with life and let God become the center of your joy. It's like we kept getting back to this. Like Lorraine, I was saying, you just got to fall so in love with Jesus Christ, and he becomes the center of your joy and of your home and your household. And he gives you so much joy that when the right someone comes along, and single moms are not always going to be single moms, but
right.
God cleanses and removes the debris and the hurt and the pain and the bitterness and the unforgiveness and everything that filled you, then he makes that person a new person, and now he's all in there. And then, you know, and with me, myself, and then my husband found me, and then I've been changed, and he's a different, you know. So you're will not always be a single mom, but you have to open up yourself to let God come in and do the cleansing and the washing and to fill all the voids. And then you're ready for what God wants you to be and what he wants for you and from you.
That's an important point, you know, and Ronnie, you may want to agree with me on this, right, is this. What I've seen a lot is that how Satan attacks single moms, because mothers are definitely directly attached to their children and the way they raise their children. And what Satan wants is to raise an ungodly nation of children and who will become a godly adult. So he attacks the single mom to prevent them from raising their kids in a godly environment. And it reminds me of Timothy, and God used a godly mother, a godly grandmother, and a godly mentor to teach and model the gospel for Timothy. And he can use similar influences in mothers, you know, to affect their children's lives. And Ronnie, how important do you think it is for single mothers to remain godly, as we've been discussing many of our conversations, how we live in an ungodly world where, you know, things are just really, you know, getting worse from bad to worse. So how important is it for single mothers to remain in Christ and to leave a godly legacy for their children?
Well, it's extremely important because no matter what society might try to present to people's minds and their psyches, the truth is that what happened in the garden affects everybody. And the same tactic that happened in the garden as far as Satan coming in between the man and the woman to cause a fall in humanity is the same thing that we're seeing when Satan causes, however way, whatever trick that he might use to dismantle the family, meaning you got the child who's in a single parent home and this child, you know, might have a weekend dad or doesn't see the dad or doesn't even know who the father is, but or vice versa. You know, you might have a single dad who's taking care. But the thing is, the enemy wants to destroy the power that's found in, you know, the family unit. And so if you find yourself, because it's not a, it's, if you find yourself in that situation, you have to submit yourself to Christ, because this is the only way that you could have any kind of help against all the wiles of the enemy that are attacking your children while you're at work, while you're trying to provide for the home. Being in Christ, you'll be covered and your home will be covered. And, you know, God will be able to use certain things, and you'll be able to see things before they happen because God's on your side, because mm-hmm. you've submitted to God. And so, yeah, you have to realize that the spiritual warfare that the Bible talks about pertains to you, whether you're a Christian or not. And so as a single parent, male or female, you want to submit to God so that your home is covered and your life is covered and your children's lives are covered. And there's some things they won't even be able to understand unless their household is submitted to God. And it's just important that this is what's done, because it's the work of the enemy that the household is dysfunctional or minus a parent. And so it's only the power of God that will be able to stabilize the home that's been under attack. So it's important, just as important as breathing.
Absolutely, that's a good point, Ronnie. Here's a point I want to address to the Boundless Rights and actually Lorraine, is you hear a lot of stories where a lot of single mothers have ex-spouses or their ex-spouses' family members who exert a lot of negative influences on their kids. How does a single mom in that situation or predicament protect herself and her child from such negative influences? And I first go to Evangelist Rice.
Well, if there is an the father that is not in the household, and it depends. I mean, if it's a good godly family, or it's a good grandmother, maybe the father's mother is a good woman, it can be a good grandmother to the child. And, you know, I'm not trying to say to keep your children away. You shouldn't keep your children away from their paternal grandparents and uncles and aunts. But if you know that there is ungodliness in there, if you know that there's unrighteousness in there, if you know by doing that you're going to allow your child to be a target for Satan to pounce upon, a setup for the devil to come in and to wreck their life or emotionally or even physically, then as a single mom, then you have to exercise your power and your authority as the head of your household and the one that's over your children and protect them. So all matters are not like that, because sometimes it could be maybe the mom and dad just didn't make it and their relationship is not good and they got a divorce, but the grandparents are okay on the father's side and on the mother's side. They can have that. But I don't know. It depends on what that situation is, because I know of situations when it's not good and it could be very lethal to the child to go over onto that side, and there you're raising them up in a godly way. You raise them in the light, and on that other side, there's darkness. Then you gotta do what you have to do. You know, you gotta pray, and you have to intervene. But then there's cases like I'm talking to single moms out there, and there's a divorce, and you went to court, and the judge says that the father has visitation rights and maybe he's in sin and unrighteous, but the courts say, the law says that that's his child. He can see his child. And there you are on the other side, and you're raising your child up to be godly, and you're going to church and going to Sunday school, and they're doing all these things. But on this other side is this dark side on that father's side, but the courts say that he has visitations. That's hard for parents. You know, because they say they either obey the law or they disobey and face the consequences of it.
That's a good point,
everyone's situation is different, though.
Definitely.
So I don't know
now,
what you
Lauren,
think about that,
Lorraine.
Right?
Same question to you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? She is absolutely right. There are so many variables and so many degrees of dysfunction or evil, or, you know, there are parents that are abusing drugs or that are mentally, emotionally, physically abusing their kids. You have to do what's right. And the courts really do, they set boundaries. Parents are not allowed to talk about the other parent or to do things like that that are going to cause emotional damage to the kids. And parents that find that the other one's doing that, they need to take them right back to court. It's a violation. They have to do whatever they feel. You as a parent need to do whatever you need to do to protect your children, even if it means taking that trip back to court again to make sure those kids aren't being in the middle or having that barrage of negativity and, you know, talking bad about you and making the kids feel like they're in the middle or they're not loyal to one and all of that stuff. It's just, it's not good. But if somebody is a danger to your kids or a threat in any of those other ways, then you have to do whatever you have to do to protect them and keep them out of that environment. It's just it's kind of a difficult topic to address in that there's so many variables.
Yes.
But, you know, ultimately we put our kids in God's hands, and sometimes they're in situations that we have to ask God to put a hedge of protection around their hearts and their mind, and that He will intervene. And God's faithful. He loves those kids more than us. They're on loan to us. So we have to trust God with our kids and use discernment and know when we need to step in and do something. And, you know, when we can't, we have to trust that God's going to do that for us, and He's going to advocate, and He's going to be there to cover our kids.
Absolutely. That's an awesome point. And, you know, we're about to wrap up the show, guys. And here's my last comment is this guy, you know, like Lorraine just mentioned, guys, it's so important to entrust your child to God. Remember that God owns your child, not you. You are just a steward, not the owner. So humbly ask God to work directly in your son or daughter's life or your children's lives, and use other means, you know, have them use other means of grace to save, protect, and strengthen them. And I just want to thank all you guys for being on the show tonight, Evangelist Rice and Ronnie and Lorraine. And Evangelist Rice, real quickly, could you give us some closing comments real quick and how you would encourage those single mothers who could be listening right now? And in a few brief comments, what would you have to say to those people, women out there listening right now?
Well, I would like to say to the moms to put your trust in God. If you don't know the Lord, I would ask, you know, I would just pray that you would draw close to Him. If you would even go to a place where you can, a church where you can hear God's word and where it can minister to you, and bring your children up in that atmosphere and that environment of a godly environment, it brings such peace into your home and to your household, and for you to get not to be bitter or unforgiving about any situation with the ex or with yourself. And to love your children, to love them. They are in your care, and you are like we are stewards of their life. We're stewards of what goes into their minds, into their spirits. God has just lent them to us just for a short period. But you want to pour everything into them that is godly, so they can grow up to be the strong men and women that God wants them to be, and that they can be able to walk in their destiny. But be strong and be encouraged and reach out. Reach out. Don't live in a bubble, and don't live behind the doors and not let anyone know that you're crying and you're in tears, you're in pain. But don't hold back the tears either. When you cry, you go and you take your pillow, you take your towel, and you let the tears flow. And as they flow, you ask God to heal every drop of tears that fall from your eyes, and God will heal you.
Absolutely. Yes, that's an awesome point, Evangelist Rice. And same question to you, Lorraine. What's your last closing comments?
Well, I just want to thank you for bringing this topic up. And I know there are also single dads as well as single moms. And just to encourage them to take inventory of where their life is right now, where the choices that they have made have led them, and if they are not walking with the Lord, to look at the potential of what their life could be. Because if you are not walking with the Lord, then you're walking the same path you've been walking all along, and look where it's gotten you. It just doesn't work. When we give our lives to the Lord and we allow other people to minister to us, then we start having freedom, and we stop carrying all the burdens, and we start having provision made for us, and we have encouragement, and we have people that are there to help take care of our kids. So I want people to be encouraged. I don't want people to feel like they're less than because they're a single parent. They are blessed. God is their husband. God is their provider, and He wants only what's best for them and their kids. And if they can hold on to that and trust, as they reach towards God, God says, when you lean on Him and you don't lean on your own understanding, that He's going to direct your path, that He's going to give you the desires of your heart as you trust Him. Those are the things that you can hold on to, and that's what you want to lean into and let go of all the bad stuff.
Absolutely. That's an awesome point. Hey, Wani, same thing to you, sir. What's your closing comments, and what do you think tonight's topic?
Well, tonight's topic is extremely important, and my closing comments would be that the role of a parent is extremely, there's probably no compensation in this earthly realm for the role of a parent, the duty of a parent, the effect that the parent has on a child, the opportunity that the parent has with the child. And so, you know, whether it be a male or female single parent, your job is extremely honorable. And so, you know, society might say, you know, that's all you do is take care of your child, or, you know, what else do you do? Well, the thing is, according to God, you know, you're doing something that's like I said, is very honorable. So please be encouraged that the more you pour into your children and the more that you instill godly values in them and lead them in a godly direction, you're not only making their lives easier, but you're sending someone out into the world to be the light and the salt of the earth. And so, you know, the parenting position is just highly, I believe it's underrated as far as society is concerned. But as far as life is concerned, you know, you're critical to society as a whole. So just stay encouraged and seek the Lord's counsel in every move that you make.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Ryan. Well, guys, it's time for us to close the show out, and I want to thank the panel of co-hosts on the show, and Vantus Rice. We'll definitely have to have you back at some point. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And
love to.
Absolutely, you guys. You heard it tonight. There's a lot of wisdom that was shared tonight, and join us same time next week. We have another exciting show coming up for next week, and stay tuned. Same time this Friday, next Friday, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Can We Talk is what we do. It's who we are. God bless you guys. Have a great weekend. Peace.
Bless you.
Have a great week.
Well, that was awesome.